Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
And welcome to this week's newest episode of the Nintendo Shack podcast titled 4 Years Too Late. You will maybe have some guesses about what that's referring to. If not, we will be chatting about it as well as lots of other Switch-related headlines from this past week. We'll start off the show how we do each and every week by thanking our live on-air producers. Thank you to Edwin Callow, AJ Pentcoast, Chris M., Devin Tyus, Horsegirl69.
Nice.
Joe Wilson, Josh Borboni, Kyle Hyman, Nick Creature, Nick Folliver, Paul Calico, RJ Kern, Stephen Keller, and Zach Adams. Thank you for your continued support. Garrett and Elaine.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
I'm pumped. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
We're recording on a Friday.
You know, it doesn't feel like it's Friday for me because we had off from work yesterday. We've had off a couple days the past couple weeks for a bunch of holidays. So
my kids were off yesterday. My kids were off yesterday too. So I worked from home, and all I heard all day was screeching about Salmon Run happening two floors above me. I could hear them through the vents. They're playing Salmon Run. They're like in again. Yeah, I love listening to them play that. There's some collaboration. There's some yelling. It's okay.
I miss that. I was so into that when Splatoon came out.
Yeah.
And it was such a good mode for friends to join up on.
I love it too. I like listening to my kids play cooperative stuff instead of screeching at each other that someone's cheating. I like this better.
It's good.
So yeah, it's good.
I like it. So you enjoyed your day off hearing their screaming.
Yes. I was very productive yesterday, you see.
I bet.
Nothing done.
What about you, Garrett? How have you been?
I'm doing fine. I've been hunting for jobs, right? So been applying for them, interviews. Let me guys tell you, this is kind of a weird thing that I would never see in a company, but I applied to one company. It's a huge global consulting firm. If you're in management consulting, you probably know what the company is. I'm not going to say it though right now.
Smart move.
Yeah. So basically they respond back to me. It's like, hey, okay, you're in the next step in the interview process. What we're going to do is that we're going to invite you to play a game. And
what?
I was like, wait, what? And it's called the company, the game, right? And what they do is they are going to test me on a series of mini games, and they're evaluating everything that you do. And so I kind of actually went on other websites to search up what these mini games are, and they're no joke. They're pretty interesting what they do. One of them is like a resource management game where you're gonna have to figure out different environmental parameters, and then you're gonna have to just build an ecosystem up based off of like favorable conditions or whatever. So they're really trying to, you know, make the mind think, right? They want to test out and see how successful you are given all these different variables, and see if you can solve this problem in a timely manner.
I feel like I might know what company this is. At least the company that I'm thinking of, I think I've heard does similar things. That would make me so nervous and so stressed out.
That stresses me out. I walk in better when I can just like shake hands and kiss babies. Like I got my job when you like, you know, charmed someone. I've talked myself into more than a few jobs where I'm like, I don't think I'm qualified for this, but I'll figure it out. That's my vibe. Yeah. So you
have to go do this?
Yeah. So I could do it anytime now until Monday. I have not done it yet. I am just trying to look around, prep a little.
Like individual? It's not like a group thing where they throw you in and like have you work with people to figure something out?
Right. It's just by yourself. Weird. What they're doing is they're sieving a lot of the applicants through just this test. And it's like, I mean, it doesn't cost any more for them. They made the games and they just send it out to anyone, and you can work from home doing it.
Oh, so it's just like an offline assessment. That's interesting.
Oh, you do it from home?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't go to a certain location or anything. You do it from home. And
that's
they give you
so
the link
bizarre.
And everything. And what they do is not only they know your product score, but they also know your mouse movement, your mouse clicks, and they track everything.
No, thank you.
To give you a process score.
To see, like, of, what your mind, like, that you looked yes. up here because your mouse went up there.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
This is why
sweating.
You have a second computer open to do what you need to do and figure it out.
They can exactly. probably
Break
track
the game.
That, too.
Break the game. I'm the queen.
They infiltrate everything.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's like the calm before the storm. I already had to do something with another company like the past week, so this is the next step. I'll do it this weekend sometime. I'm going to play some other games this weekend to prep me up a little bit, but it should be fine. I should just go through it and just be done with it. It's just so stress-inducing, you know? Like
it's
doing
stressful.
These type of stuff. But
jobs,
yeah, that's,
job
that's,
searching is stressful. I hate it.
Yeah, in general, yes, it's a full-time job to look for a job.
It is. That sounds better, though, than I've had job applications where I've had to fill out, like, a personality test. Like,
oh,
you had
I
to
did.
Fill out, like, mm-hmm. and then it's like mm-hmm. you're rating yourself and saying, like, I work best when my manager is like this. And it's like, well, like, it's so such a wide range of answers.
Yeah.
It's just so silly. I don't know.
And you're trying to judge yourself, but.
We
you
did
just
that
don't
at my,
know, really.
We did that exact thing at my company, and they encouraged us to print them out because it would show like some of the detailed information about how you work best and put them outside our cubes. And I was just like, mine should just say angry. Like, that's what it should just say. Bring snacks, kind of angry, step back 3 steps. Like, what? But they would like, they had these like nice ways of saying it, and somebody came and looked at mine, and they're like, that's accurate. And I'm like, it should just say angry. And it would be much more accurate.
just in general.
I can save you so much
unless
money.
Unless you give me food.
There is, true, then I'm like less angry. There is a meme like that I keep on my phone, and it's a cat looking through a magnifying glass with a really angry face, and it just says angry. And I'm like, this is a whole mood. This is what should be out there. Yeah. Thank you.
I love
this
that.
What, yeah. Angry.
Have you had any time for gaming in the midst of preparing for this, Garrett?
Video games.
Yes,
Garrett.
But not Switch games. Not Nintendo games.
What?
I've been playing Life is Strange, True Colors.
I feel like this is a theme.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going good. I'm in episode 3, and I think I don't want to do any more thoughts than that, than just saying I'm in episode 3.
Okay.
And just go with it, because I want to round out my thoughts once I'm done with the game. Okay. I have initial thoughts. Okay. I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get into it too much.
I just to interrupt you because
yeah,
the only thing that I've been playing is Life is Strange True Colors. I haven't really touched anything else. I just finished episode 3 and I'm like in the beginning of episode 4.
Okay.
So do you think you'll probably have it finished up next week?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll probably finish it up this weekend or something.
We can talk about
it
then.
Too.
We'll make sure that for those listening who are waiting for the Switch release, because it came out on pretty much every platform except for Switch, but it's going to come out for Switch. So I know a lot of people are waiting for that version to release. So we'll maybe do like a spoiler-free, like our thoughts on it type of thing.
Yeah.
And then maybe when it comes out for Switch, maybe we'll just return to that and talk about it a little bit more in depth, just to give people a chance if they are waiting for you know, that version of the game. But I've been very deep into it.
Elaine, are you playing it?
I'm going to. There are too many. I posted a picture of like my stack of video games
backlog,
like on Instagram and Facebook. And somebody on my Facebook messaged me privately and was like, where do you find the time? I'm like, they're all still in the
I don't. I just smile and look at the plastic wrapping in front of me.
Yeah, someone tweeted buying games and playing games are two separate hobbies. And I feel
they
that
really
in
are.
My very soul. You know what I mean? So like, yes, I'm going to play it. I'll probably, if you guys are going to finish it up over the next week, I probably will try to prioritize and tackle it. Because I do want to play it. It's 5 episodes, right? Is it 4 or 5?
Yeah,
5. Yeah, I do want to play it. It's on my stack of shame. Oh, the never-ending stack of shame. But
I know.
I'm very excited about it. Very excited about it.
Yeah. So it's going okay so far with that.
Okay.
I've been playing a game, I think, every morning. And it's been really a delight in the morning before I go to work. And I'm glad I'm taking advantage of my Xbox now. I'm playing some Psychonauts 2.
Yes. I heard that was exciting, that game.
I'm very surprised by it. Like, I know people have been, like, cheering for it, praising it. I've never been a Psychonauts fan. I've never been a Double Fine fan or anything like that. But when I played this game, I think I'm, like, 4 hours in now or something like that. It is probably one of the most entertaining platformers I've played in a long time. I just love the character and the art style in this game. It reminds me of, like, you know, a Tim Burton film or those other kind of just abstract child book like type of games. But they're just so creative how they went through that game. And of course you're this guy, I forgot his name. Is it Raz or something like that? So he's kind of like into the Psychonauts game, and Psychonauts is a group of people that can go into other people's minds, and you can like change people's thoughts in their minds, and they personify everything, and it's so cool. And I wish it was on Switch, because I think a lot of people in the Nintendo crowd would adore this game, because it
feels
just
like
very...
the kind of game that should be like on a Nintendo system.
Yeah.
Yes. Very much so. I love just the creativity behind it. All the puns in there is just insane. Like, and they just do it nonchalantly just all the time, and I love it. But yeah, I'm just so surprised by it, and it's just it's hitting my like top two or three games of this year so far.
That's awesome.
It's very good. I'm just having so much fun with it. And just going through the story. The game is not itself, it's not that hard, but it's just fun just going through this game. So. Yeah.
I loved the first one a great deal. I have very fond memories of playing. I don't know that I would say it holds up now for someone who doesn't have nostalgia for it, the first game, but you can jump into the second one by what I've understood and like fall in love with it. I just think it's very unique. You don't get a lot of that kind of vibe from video games. It's great. Highly recommend.
Nice. Yeah, and it's really nice because they give you like a short synopsis or a short story before you get into Psychonauts 2, so you kind of know what the storyline is of Psychonauts 1. And Raz is just back into being an intern, and it's just hilarious.
That's good. I'm glad you like it. It's so good.
It's good stuff. I really like it.
Yes. Nice.
And that's it.
All right, what about you, Elaine?
I've been WarioWare-ing on multiple fronts. So here's what happened.
Nice.
I started WarioWare and I played a little bit of it today, and then the Tetris 99 event came out, and I was like, gotta go. I'm gonna play. I have like 600 hours of Tetris 99 played. Like, it's not.
Oh my god.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I have like over 100 wins. I play a lot of Tetris 99. So every time a theme comes out, I'm like, I'm gonna
I feel like the themes keep bringing people back into it,
and then I get addicted again because I do the thing with Tetris 99. It's one of those games for me. Like, when I'm stressed, that's the game I return to, because for some reason playing Tetris just like short circuits my brain. Like, I won't keep turning over the anxiety thoughts. I'll just be like, I'm playing Tetris now. This is what we're doing today. And my brain stops. So I played the WarioWare Tetris 99 theme, which is perfect. And then I played a little bit of WarioWare. I don't have enough time in it yet to like have detailed thoughts, but like, it's WarioWare. And that's, for me, that's enough. Like, that's what
I
wanted.
How are you feeling about the character changing?
I like that stuff. I think it makes it feel unique. I also haven't played a WarioWare game in long enough that I'm not sure I'm mad about it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel wrong. My kids like it too. They're having fun with it.
Cool. Have you done any of the multiplayer, two player with them?
Not yet. They just kind of took turns with me. But my son was like, "Can we do this with more?" I'm like, "Oh yeah. Oh, we're gonna." And he's like, "I think I might be into it, Mom." That's what he says to me. This is how 11-year-olds are like way into stuff. "Mom, I think I might be into this."
Love that.
And that's
it. Love it. It's very cute.
Awesome. I feel like WarioWare is just so reliably fun. Like you said, you just pick it up and like anybody can play it. Like, I feel like people who aren't even into games can have fun with it.
Exactly. That's, like I said, we used to do it in college. And just, here's a Wiimote, figure it out. And people are like, "I don't play video games." I'm like, "You have to press one button. You can do this. I promise."
If you can follow directions and have a quick reaction time.
Yeah. Which is funny when people are drinking. So that was always hilarious. Like,
I bet, yeah.
The kids are going to be better at it than me, because the kids are like better at everything than me. So, because they're young and they have reaction time still.
Why do we suck at video games when we get older?
Because we get distracted by too many video games and we don't sink into one. Like, my son has 1,100 hours in Splatoon 2. I made him look it up. He's so good at Splatoon 2.
Wow.
It makes me sad. That's his Fortnite. That's the game that like he comes back to over and over. And he's really
good
at it.
Splatoon. Oh my gosh.
It's a great game. They love it. So those are the two things I've been playing. I picked up Eastward on Switch.
I heard so many good things about that.
It's a Chucklefish joint. I haven't actually dipped into it yet, but the second it hit, I was like, this will be mine. It's an RPG, and it's supposed to be fantastic. So I think it's $25. So it's on my Switch Lite. I'm going to lay in bed tonight and try that out. I'm excited. very excited to play Eastward.
I read more than one person say it's Zelda meets Earthbound, which sounds, Elaine, like it's right up the alley for us.
Mm-hmm. the art style and the art style graphics.
I love the style of that game. Good. It looks so cool.
I'm always hesitant when people say it's like Zelda inspired, because then I end up playing it and it doesn't hook me as much as Zelda games do, of course. Yeah. But the tie with Earthbound definitely catches my interest.
You always compare these games, and I wanted to shout out to you right back. It's like, hey, Earthbound and Zelda. I'm like, that's tiring. It's tiring to compare to these,
it'll
like,
never
Nintendo
be
franchises.
That way. Yeah. Like, it'll right. never be what, you know, those original games are.
Right.
And you're right. I wish that they would kind of do like their own little thing
it's
that
hard.
Makes it special.
It's like using the word Metroidvania, right? Like, it evokes what they want you to know, that it's an RPG that has action elements and exploration elements,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But the saying that it's inspired by these two games is quicker for your brain to latch onto. But
that's true.
I agree. When it comes to Nintendo franchises, there's an expectation that sets that you're never going to reach. You're never going to reach. So
good point.
Yeah.
I mean, the game is fine. Like, the game is the game. I'm sure it's great. I just hate when reviewers or impressionists are like, hey, it's like Zelda mixed with Earthbound. And I'm like, guys,
every farming sim now is Stardew Valley inspired.
It's Harvest Moon inspired.
But the Harvest Moon doesn't mean the same thing anymore. It's Story of Seasons inspired, because Harvest Moon is bad now. Harvest Moon was very good.
But you're right, though. It's funny how instead of saying like the genre name, it's now they're kind of saying like what other game is like.
Yep.
You know, now that I think of it, how many games are, you know, Souls inspired and things
all
like
the time.
That. Like,
all the time.
Instead of just saying like the actual genre.
Right. Well, you say Soulsborne or you say like Metroidvania. That is commonplace.
That one's
now.
Super common.
I know that those have kind of become a genre.
Mm-hmm. And then roguelike.
Roguelike, but roguelike is an actual, it's not like saying, you know, Dead Cells inspired. That's different. That's more specific. You know, roguelike is an umbrella genre that I'm not as upset about, I guess. That one's evolved.
Well, it's following Rogue.
Yeah, it is. But most people don't know that. Most people don't know that.
Most people don't know that.
First iteration of those games is not that one, you know? So.
Oh, definitely not.
It's not that one. I think when you're sitting down to write a review, I wish they wouldn't. You have enough characters. You don't have a word limit. Give me more descriptive. I don't think if you do, then no, that's not good. But like, give me more descriptive words, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what I've been up to.
All right.
I'm excited.
Awesome. Yeah. Looking forward to hearing more about those experiences, and we'll chat all about it. I'll probably have, I'm hoping, I'm like going to be dedicated, I think, to actually finishing more games in these upcoming weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because I still haven't finished Samus Returns. I need to get back to that this weekend. Because 3 weeks, everybody,
go buy
Metroid Dread, go pre-order it. 3 weeks. I wanted to finish Fusion before that time, but like the clock is ticking. I have to finish Life is Strange. As soon as we hang up from this call, I'm going to be going playing Deltarune, which we'll talk about that in a little bit. Like, I want to actually finish more games.
I want to tell you, it's not going to get better as you get older, because now I'm just like, now I have more money than time. This is a real, like, engineer problem. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can buy any video game I want. And then I do. And then I'm like, I can't play any of these video games. I need to job.
Work.
Why though?
When we were kids, we had the time but not the money.
The money.
Now we have the money but not the time.
I just hate it. I need to retire. My financial advisor today was like, when do you want to retire? I'm like, now. Can we make that happen? How does that work?
Can we make it happen?
To do.
Yes, like, if you sell your entire collection.
Never!
I could go bare minimum. I could be a caveman.
Yeah.
I don't have to travel or anything.
I could grow my own food in the backyard. It'll be fine. I can eat kale. It'll be fine.
Cheap as we could be. I could do ramen like the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
look.
52 when I die from like, I don't know, heart attack
sodium
or something.
Poisoning?
All right, we have some headlines here. Remember last week we were talking about the rumor of the Switch getting a price drop?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes and no. It did get a price drop, but in Europe. And remember we suggested that could be a possibility. I think it was like a French retailer that originally reported on it. So they're cutting it to £259 in the UK, £299 in the rest of Europe. Nintendo of America spokesperson stated no current plans to drop price in the United States, which I feel like if they did have plans, they probably would have done it at the same time. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Does that normally happen? Could they do it?
This one was a weird case. And it's really just because of trade currency, exchange rates.
That's true.
It's purely of economic reason. Well, that was one of the reasons that the Nintendo spokesperson said. It's like, we want to drop the price now because it's just going to make us more profit in the long run with these exchange rates. So we're going to drop the price. But yeah, I don't expect... if there is a drop price, that would be great. But these drop prices are very modest. It seems like it's like £20 or €30, which is like $25.
Yep.
It's really not that much compared to what was previously. So I don't see it dropping down in price, because it's purely based off of economic reasons. And they also said it's because it's right before the OLED switch, which,
It would devalue, like, if they dropped the price of the original, like we talked about this last week, too far, it would make the OLED seem not worth the jump.
Exactly.
At the pricing they're at right now, you could be like, it's only $50 more and make the leap. If it was $100 different, you'd be like, but why am I doing this? Like, why? For that? For $100, that's not worth it to a lot of people, and they won't get that profit that they probably want. So.
Makes sense. I didn't realize, I guess I didn't read into it too much, that the reasoning was because of the exchange rate.
Money.
Yeah, that seems like the main reason for it, but it seems like a special case for Europe. So go Europe. Cool. Buy your Switch for...
Which I'm pretty sure it was really expensive over there before. Like, that's, if you do the conversion, that's like...
Yeah.
Isn't that quite a bit more than what we're paying?
So, actually, it's a little bit more in the UK, because I think it's like, what? 3/4 or 2/3 or something like that.
It's in flux so much I don't even track it's in flux. Anymore.
Euros is like almost on par.
Yeah, they're almost 1-to-1. Yep.
Yeah, so it used to be 330 euros and it dropped down to 300 euros.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying 25.
So it makes it closer. Yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah. So their goal was making it closer to what ours is, right?
No, I think it dropped the price than what it was like about the same as us.
Okay.
I think they dropped. But like equivalent to like 25 USD or 30 USD, somewhere around there.
That's a reasonable.
So not much at all. Not $50.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. Yep. Makes sense. We got a Switch firmware update this week. It finally adds native Bluetooth audio support 4 years after the Switch's launch. All it took was a firmware update. Now that means only two wireless controllers can be paired with the system when a Bluetooth device is connected. You won't be able to pair any additional controllers until the Bluetooth device is disconnected. Up to 10 devices can be saved to the system, but only one can be paired at any given time. There is still no Bluetooth microphone support, which kind of makes sense. There's not really any native voice chat in any games that I can think of. What do you think, guys?
Dude, what? I just want to note, they dropped this firmware at like 11 p.m. Eastern. Just like, surprise!
It's the weirdest
time. They were like
time.
Trying to sneak it in on us, and we're like, wait, what? And then you start reading these patch notes, and I'm like, two wireless controllers at a time, really? Took you 4 years to get here? Like, what?
So, I think the reason why they really want this to lay low with the Bluetooth is exactly what you're saying. It's all the drawbacks that we're seeing in the Nintendo, like this functionality.
Yeah.
I just find it so weird, and Donnie put it really neatly in Discord. It's so weird they wait
four years
for this. What?
But also, like,
did they do?
When you look at these restrictions, they're not that crazy. If you have Bluetooth headphones in, do you have more than two wireless controllers paired to the Switch? Because that's weird. Then you have 10 people.
No, you're playing single player.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, why bother to even... it's so weird. Who came in and looked at the code and went, did you guys know you left toggle off? Did you guys know?
That's exactly.
It's like an intern, probably, who was bored. And they're like, take a look at this code for us. And he's like, did you guys know that there was a Switch in here? Does this work? And they're like, no. And he's like... this works. We should just slide this out. Like, that's how it felt, you know?
Slip it out, like,
I
right
almost
now. Yeah.
Wonder, and this is just me thinking, because of how seemingly out of touch Nintendo is with what fans actually want, that they probably didn't think it was that important to have that. And now with the OLED coming up, maybe they're hearing the buzz that like people want Bluetooth, you know, with the OLED to get it ready for that launch, maybe just making it compatible for this as well. I don't know. I could see them just not having any priority for this and just being like, yeah, okay, we'll just pitch that as an extra feature.
Totally. I look, they spent all that development money on the Ring Fit thing, but didn't think to turn this on. Like, that's the thing that blows my mind about Nintendo, and I don't think it's, like, malicious. I really just think they are exactly what you said. Out of touch. Like, completely. It's why I have to use an app on my phone to do voice chat.
It's just a little weird to me that they just switched this on, and, like, the thing is, a lot of people, or a group of select people, I feel like me and us Nintendo fans, is like, we want Bluetooth audio. Yes. Like that's one of the most wanted features. Mm-hmm. And I would think an OLED Switch would, like, do the trick, right? It's like, okay, they got enough hardware, or like, oh, they decided to add it in the OLED Switch. They're going to do it. But the fact that they had it for the or they had the functionality for the longest time.
I always thought it was hardware holding it back. Turns out
everybody thought that. No, it was like the one that blew my mind. Like, I own a Switch Lite and I commute with it. And that's when I want the Bluetooth audio, because I jump on the train and pop my earbuds in and I want to be able to do that. So I bought an adapter so that I could do that. Because you don't want to be sitting on you don't want to be sitting on a crowded train with a wire. Bad things will happen. It's Philly. I could be murdered. I mean, you know, I joke. I love Philly, but
you don't joke.
Well, okay. I know which neighborhoods to avoid. You're right. But like, it's just like the time to drop this firmware update would have been with the Lite, right? Because it's at our portable device that you are even more portable, and you put the headphones in and you get on the train. Why now? I really do think they just didn't realize they could do it. I'm just like, oh wow.
I guess we should do this for everyone.
It's like the stupid Twitter
for, like,
meme.
Free.
We've been working on this for 4 years, and they just tweeted it out. Like, poor Genki is over there. Like, we developed a piece of hardware for you.
Yeah, a little dongle for it. And now everyone that bought that is like a useless product. Yeah. It's like,
they're probably panicking right now. Like, we're not going to sell any more of these.
Oh my god, Nintendo's just sitting in a dark room in a chair with petting a white cat, like, ha ha ha, ha. We've taken out the third party company. Damn them, it's a beautiful device.
Maybe they tried to sue them and it didn't work, so they're like, here's a way to put it on.
Okay, that's so evil. That's exactly. That would be malicious.
At the same time, I'm not surprised that the launch Switch can do this, because a PSP Go can do multiple
Vita
can do Bluetooth.
Reasons the Vita was ahead of its time, kids. More reasons.
Exactly. I have strong feelings. It's just so weird. Now, I want to mention, like, have you guys tried out Bluetooth audio? Like, have you personally experienced this?
I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard some things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've tried it with my cheap $30 third-party wireless headsets or earbuds. And it's okay. There's a little bit of a delay, like half a second delay. I find that very common with my headsets, just because I do it with my laptop as well. Like my laptop here, my work laptop, everything's like half second delay, just because Bluetooth audio for my phone, listening to podcasts, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like visually and audio, it doesn't matter at all. So I feel like people are saying, oh, this Bluetooth audio sucks. This delay sucks. I'm like, well, do you got good Bluetooth audio headsets? Do you have, like, I mean, Razer has these gaming headsets that have very low latency that you can have. I'm sure Apple AirPods are pretty good. So I'm not sure if it's Nintendo hardware related. I heard it, like, the distance pretty short, too.
Absolutely.
Bluetooth in general, yes. But you're playing the Switch. Like, it's mostly, like, almost right in front of you.
If you have
You're probably going to be holding it while you play.
If you're not and you're sitting across the room, it's weird. If it's in the dock and you're using this, that's like...
Yeah, that is...
If you had audio, like voice chat, that would be a different conversation, right? But you're holding it for this. Like, and I use the Genki adapter on my Lite. I have been for a while, and I like it. Like, I've liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see how it compares, so I'm going to swap back and forth and see.
BT Photo brought up a pretty good theory in chat. You need to get the official Nintendo Bluetooth headphones. Now that would be the least surprising thing if next week they say, here's our official pair, $59.99.
Yeah. Oh, that's cheap. You don't think $99.99? You don't think Nintendo's
That's true.
Right,
I want a green and a pink earbuds like in Splatoon.
I would do that.
That would be kind of legit.
That would be cool.
Man.
I would pay good money. They could be not good headphones.
They hear you.
At all.
Stop it. Your mouse is being tracked, and now Nintendo is listening to you in their evil Dr. Claw chair with their cat. Just, oh, God.
It's like, oh, we got him. We got him.
Ahoy Adam in chat says he tried AirPods. The sound isn't loud enough, though. He says it could be louder.
That's an interesting problem. I have a Skull Candy earbuds that I really like because they were $40. Mm-hmm. They're $40. And I'm not going to pay like hundreds of dollars for AirPods. But
my third party ones were like $40.
Yeah,
too.
$40 is my limit for something that might fly out in traffic in Philly. And I'm like, not going back for you. So
he's like, oh, you're good. You're going
to
be
peace. I'll listen with one. I'm curious to see that, though. Bluetooth often for me has that problem where it's not like as loud as I want it to be. Or maybe I'm going.
I have the AirPod, I think it's the Pro or whatever the second model is. Mm-hmm. So I'll try them this weekend and I'll let you guys know.
We'll report back.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love it.
Adam actually had a question for us related to this. He says, with Bluetooth being added, do you think there are any more Switch firmware or user interface improvements coming from the OLED release? Odds are we get more themes. Odds are they just aren't basic colors.
I just want
Is there anything
folders.
Else hidden in there that they could flip the Switch for?
Just turn on the folders. You can do folders. Let me organize my freaking games. It's just... I'm not mad. You're mad.
I really wish they had folders, but we've talked ad nauseum about that.
Now, to be fair, themes, didn't they come to the 3DS 4 years after? Wasn't 4 the magic number for that? It has been 4 years. I'm
really?
Just saying.
I have to look that up.
It's not
really?
Off the
no.
table.
It's not off the table.
I don't think so. I think themes were before 4 years.
Was
right?
it?
I don't believe
that. I'll have to look that up.
I don't know.
So 2015, no. There were themes before then.
As far as Nintendo is concerned, we should be lucky we have the right to turn on the dark theme so we don't blind ourselves with the white interface. Like, every time I set up someone's Switch for the first time, I'm like, oh no, please, dark
That's
theme.
That's like every default program. Why did they
so
do that?
Aggressive?
Like, I literally looked up Visual Studio Code, like VS Code, mm-hmm. and it's like it's blinding white screen. I'm like, I need you to tone it down a bit and go to dark immediately. Same thing with Twitter as well. Yeah. Twitter.
Introduced in an update in October 2014.
So that's
2014. Oh, okay.
Years.
Yeah. 3 years after.
They dragged their feet. Okay. I could.
So
I want themes. I want colored themes and folders. I want those things. Those things, she says, not knowing how to code, should be easy. So, like, you know.
And we've talked a lot about how the really complex themes, like the ones that we saw on the 3DS, would maybe slow down the Switch interface and whatnot, and how they might be trying to avoid that. But even just colors.
Just simple colors. Give me a red, green, blue.
Blue, yeah.
That's colors. It. Yep. Purple, orange.
Yep. Wow, now you're just asking too much. I'm sorry. That was like 5.
Sorry.
Excuse
you're
me,
going
purple
the upside
takes
of that.
Longer to load than
Sir.
Blue.
Yeah, that's a mix of 2 colors. Get out. Only primary colors.
Have you seen that RGB color code? That's hard.
Oh, no, guys. A slider? No, we can't do a slider. I'm sorry.
We can't do that. No.
Do you know how long it took us to find the Switch for Bluetooth that we lost? We lost that in the code 4 years ago. I don't know what happened.
G-Man in chat wants them to turn on the Switch for eShop music.
Yes. Yes.
Or get some sort of music. That would be eShop music would be nice.
I used to like that when, like, I would go on the Wii U eShop, like, around Christmas time. They would have, like, the Jingle Bell kind of, like, rendition of their Mario songs and stuff. I did like that. It's, like, one of those things that's totally not necessary, but it just makes it, like, I don't know, more personable and memorable. And, like, you become nostalgic for it years down the line. And you talk about how cool it was in, like, 5-10 years from now.
I will still just let the Wii Shop music play for hours. It's just so good. It's so good. I'm like, you nailed it.
I can use that for studying and like reading articles and stuff like that. It's just, it has a good elevator tone to it, but better.
You hum along to it without realizing it, and then people judge you.
Exactly.
Bring it back. Nintendo.
So much character, and now it's just black and dull and gray and no folders. Like, what's boring. I don't know. Like, that's know. It's not Nintendo. I think they gotta put some character to it.
I know. I feel like. Do you remember how like so the GameCube's anniversary was just this past week, and I saw a lot of people talking about how like that startup theme. It's just something so simple. It's so catchy, and we're so nostalgic for it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's nothing with the Switch that, and it doesn't have to be a startup theme, but like. the Wii had the eShop music. Like, mm-hmm. there's just something I feel like on all these consoles where it's just, it's not necessary, but it just gives it personality, you know, that we will be nostalgic for.
The Switch one is the one where you go to your profile and it whistles and then whistles back in response.
That's it.
But that thing is very like unique to the Switch for me. It's not as much as I want, but that I every time I smile,
yeah, you're right.
I smile every time. I love that. I think it's cute.
And the sound effects between the games,
yes,
like it's the distinct sound, like you're popping to a game, but that's just sound effects
it's
to me.
Effects.
Like,
do you guys ever unlock your Switch by pressing R3 down 3 times? It honks at you.
Really?
I did not
so
realize
it makes,
that.
So it makes a different sound depending on what button you press.
I always
if you press,
press the same
triggers,
button.
Try pressing a different button. It will make a different sound no matter what button you're pressing. And if you
what?
Press it, I think it's R3 or L3, it honks. It goes like,
oh, it does. Oh, it does. Oh, I'm so excited right now.
You know, you gotta try all the buttons.
I'm gonna try all the buttons after this. Okay, so I'm gonna put
they
this
all
away,
make
so
a different sound.
Oh, I'm so like
I did not realize that at all.
Oh, Bex, that's amazing.
Yeah, because I feel like everybody like does the same button every time. You
I
might not think
a.
to try
it's the one that's under my thumb. Yeah, like I
yeah.
Oh, that made
fun
my
fact.
Day.
That'll be what we're nostalgic for.
Good, good. Bring us back to music though. I like the music.
Yeah.
Yep.
Give me some sort of song, some catchy song. That'd be
yeah.
good.
Next up, Nintendo might be making a new Switch controller, according to an FCC filing. Not many details are known right now, but we know that this controller will be wireless, like their other controllers. These documents will be released to the public in 6 months, meaning there could be an announcement of some sort before then. There's also a new rumor, possibly related to this, coming from insider Nate Drake, he's the one who spoke about the Switch model revision, which I think turned into the OLED, saying that N64 games are coming to Switch Online, possibly at a higher price subscription tier. Could this new controller be an N64 wireless controller like the NES and SNES controllers that came before it?
What would that look like if it clipped onto the side like the NES?
That would be so
really
weird.
Yeah, like, is it split in half? Is it bad? Is it two of them? Is it like claw hands?
That would be interesting,
out?
Actually. Like split apart an N64 controller and just smash it.
How does that work?
That controller.
I hate it too.
I hate it. Thanks. I hate it.
I'm liking this idea though.
I feel like this one wouldn't do that.
No.
I don't think so either.
I think what they would,
I don't
know what they're going to do. Like, one of my favorite iterations on the N64 controller is by, like, a third-party company that makes what they call their brawler controller, where they move the stick and make it feel more like a regular controller. But even then, when you have a two-stick situation, what do you do? Does it just clip onto one side and it looks ridiculous? I'm excited. If this happens, this is going to be super stupid.
I don't know. The other ones kind of look ridiculous as it is, being attached to the Switch. Like, nobody is obviously going to play like that.
Well, now I'm going to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think it may not attach to the Switch, to be honest with you.
No,
like, the
not.
Pro Card. The Pro controller doesn't, so like we can have
this
other
might
controllers.
Not even be an N64 controller. I don't know. I feel like we just got finished talking about the Game Boy Color rumors coming to Switch Online. That didn't happen
yet.
Now they're switching to N64. Where is that coming from? Is it just because of this controller filing?
I just don't think Nintendo just. I think Nintendo looks at an N64 controller is like, no, never again. Like,
we something went
we're
terribly
embarrassed
wrong
by that. It's like things happened in that generation. We're not talking about it anymore. We're past that.
Designed for gamers with three hands.
Oh. And all the middle sticks would go completely loose and someone would have to fix them. I don't know if you had this experience. It's from all the Mario Party that people would do. Like the sticks would get and you would. So that's some intern at Nintendo's job is to fix all those sticks. That's like that's what happens when you've been bad. You have to go fix all the N64.
Mine would just start to like stick, like it just wouldn't go anymore. Yeah.
Yep. Ridiculous.
So it comes in three pieces, Piper said. Yeah. So you can have the two prongs off to the side and the little prong.
You
at
wear
the bottom.
One like a hat.
It'll fit into the isn't there the charging port under there? It'll stick in there.
Oh no! Someone mock it up. Oh, it's so bad. Oh no! I hate it.
That just happened.
That needs to be mocked up.
I know. Could someone please mock this up for me? I hate it so much.
If nobody
please
else does, it. I will, and I'll post it.
It's going to look so obscene. It's going to look phallic when you do that. There's no way it does not. That's gross.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. There's no way it doesn't.
So, Cool. Well, right. We have a new Switch controller.
I mean, this controller exists. It's an FCC filing. It exists. We just don't know what it is. So anything beyond the fact that it exists and it's wireless is speculation.
Yeah. I wonder if it could also be an iteration on the Pro controller. You know, they could decide to.
It could be.
They could do that. You know, there's lots of things.
It could be a Joy-Con revision.
For God's sake, please.
That's true.
That would be great. That would be great.
Who knows? The Castlevania Advance Collection was rated for Switch in Taiwan. Elaine, do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, this is rad. So this is the rumor is it was rated for, you know, release on Switch. So this would be the three GBA Castlevania games. So that was Circle of the Moon, Harmony of Dissonance, and Aria of Sorrow, all three of which are like Metroidvanias and are exceptionally good. Finding those GBA carts is both impossible and incredibly expensive. Unless you get a bootleg. So these are three of my favorite handheld Castlevanias. Like, these are good. Aria of Sorrow is exceptional. I would like these now, please.
Is this collection, this Castlevania Advance Collection, it's already on other consoles?
This is doesn't exist.
Oh, this
anywhere.
Is brand new?
This would be brand new. Like, yeah. This would be a big deal, too, because these are the three that a lot of people really love. Harmony of Dissonance, I want to say, is the one that came out on other things. But the other two did not. Aria of Sorrow and Circle of the Moon.
I've heard very good things about these games, and I would catch up on them on my GBA library, but we can already do that.
We can.
Well, me and Rebecca can.
No, but wait.
Elaine will be seen.
I bought an even stupider way to do that. I bought an even stupider. I talk about this on the other podcast I recorded. So I went on Etsy. Mistakes were made. I own these three GBA carts. They're in. I have a binder filled with GBA carts, and these three are in there. They're not bootlegs. Mm-hmm. They're the originals. One of them.
You could use that for retirement.
Yeah, that's my financial advisor. look at all the retirement I have. And he'll be like, what are you? Get out.
That's like nothing.
Get out. That's when he throws me out. But I went on Etsy and I was going to buy an original Game Boy Advance, the brick one, because I love it. Mm-hmm. And I was going to mod it myself to put in the backlit IPS screen. And I was looking at the kit and then I was looking at what it would cost me to even get a busted up GBA to shell out. And I was like, well, if I looked at it, I was like, this is like $200. And then I looked at Etsy and I'm like, but someone will do it for me with a spice orange case. And audio, and also I bought that, so I'm gonna play these three stupid games on my dumb new GBA when it comes, like an adult.
Nice.
An adult.
That's really good.
I'm very excited. Aria of Sorrow is very good. It's probably my favorite.
Well, you don't need to wait for it to come to Switch. You said you have the carts.
Just gonna perfect. I also have a Game Boy player on the stupid GameCube that I still have attached to my TV. I don't know how to let go of the past.
Wow.
You can also play it on your new retro.
I bought one of those too, kids. The internet. Get ready. I bought that because my coworker comes to my desk, like a grown-ass man in an engineering firm, and he hands it to me, and I went, damn it, Sean, get out. And he's like, it's kind of on sale right now, by the way. And I'm like, damn it, Sean. So then I turned around at my desk, I handed it back to him, and I just started clicking buttons.
And you knew me and Garrett had one.
Isn't it so nice, though?
Yeah.
The form factor is so
good. It feels really
good.
Like, the buttons feel really good. Mm-hmm. He modded his with a Switch theme. So his, like,
that's really
front
cool.
end looks like a Switch theme. The front end is, like freaking cool.
That's awesome.
So cool.
That is really good.
It's really cool.
Does it have folders?
Yes, he's fiddling with it.
Yes,
still.
It does.
And he has, it has folders.
Of course it does.
Yeah, it has folders. He said there's a program that he uses, too, to pull, like, the box art and stuff. So it's very cool. He's gone in deep. I just want to play video games on it.
Mine, like, has all the basic stuff. Like, it looks so ugly, and, like, you have to go through, like, five different folders to get to the games. But I don't care. It plays all my games.
That's where I'm at with you. Sean, not you. And I will share the link to the Etsy shop in the Discord once I receive my GBA and vet that it is good. Then I will share it.
Okay,
I don't want to share out a link to a shop that does me wrong, because I don't want other people to go through experience. So if everything is cool, I'll share the link. Absolutely.
Man, you're gonna make us spend money on
money.
This.
Looks really
we're
good.
We're gonna get jealous and we're gonna want one for ourselves.
Then we can have three.
I have
colors.
Very few GBA carts, so I like these old consoles. It's really cool. It's just I wish I can just. I mean, like, you could probably buy a GBA cart that has just
you
packed
can,
in.
You can do things like
ROMs.
That. You can also, and this is like. Like I said, you can buy bootlegs that people load on original carts that play in hardware. One of my favorite things that people have done in the past is they took Mother 3, applied the fan translation, yeah. English translation ROM, and I can just run it in a GBA.
Put it on a cart. Cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
So. Sounds good. I like the save states.
I like save ROMs. States, too.
I do, that's too.
I'm very old and easily frustrated, so yes, I understand.
Some of those games are hard.
They were hard.
I don't want to repeat things. I don't want to waste my time on that. Yeah. As a kid, I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I'll restart this whole two-hour thing, but now it's like, no. I can't
now it's
do
like
that.
If,
I'm about
if,
to fall
yeah.
asleep.
If I yeah. lose 2 hours of progress, I'm probably never picking up that game again.
I quit
again.
This video game. Yep. I'm
yeah. Oh, guys. This yes. isn't Talk Switch related this. Yet, but it will yes. be. Deltarune Chapter 2 is available right now for PC and Mac, just for right now, for free. It was a surprise announcement that came after Undertale's 6th anniversary livestream this week. I'm currently in shambles that I'm not playing it right now at this very moment, but I'm going to be right after we finish recording. It is not on Switch or other consoles yet, but Chapter 1 is available for free on the Switch right now. Mm-hmm. And when Chapter 1 first released, it wasn't on the Switch right away. I think it took a couple weeks for it to actually yeah. get on there.
Yep.
So Chapter 2 may very well come within a few weeks. At the end, you know, once all of the chapters are out, it'll all be paid for on the Switch. The rest of the chapters are in development. No estimate as to when they will be released. It totally wasn't supposed to have Chapter 2 come this early.
Right. Yep. They're going to charge.
I thought he said that it wasn't going to be released in chapters, that he was just going to release the whole rest of the game when he was finished with it.
That's what I thought too, but I guess it makes sense that maybe he had a chunk he could break off and give away for free. The note is that Chapters 3 through 5 will come kind of, it sounds like they'll come as one chunk, and then there'll be a price for essentially the entire package at that point together.
You know, it's odd because it did say chapters 3 through 5 on the website, and that is what I remembered, but shortly, like right before the podcast, I just booted up the game just to like make sure it worked, and it goes up to chapter 7.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah.
So okay, why is this guy doing it piecemeal? What did he explain? Is the game really piecemeal, or is it
kind of?
He just wants it to feel people out. Like, why?
So I don't know. Here's kind of what it was. For anyone who doesn't know, this is like the next game in the Undertale series. It's not totally a sequel, but there's like some aspects of it being a sequel, kind of, sort of. I know that doesn't make any sense, but just trust me.
It's related. Yes. Yep.
Yes. when Chapter 1 dropped for free, just like out of nowhere, nobody even knew that this was a project that was in development. He said it's a demo. It most likely won't get any changes, you know, from the original release, besides any kind of bug fixes or whatever. He said back then, and this was 2018? Jillian?
I want to say that's correct.
The end of 20, it was Halloween, I think.
It was Halloween-ish, yeah, it was around this time period, yep.
I do remember reading him saying that the rest of the chapters would release at the same time together, paid, and it would be years away, like 6, 7, 8 years away. So it was definitely a surprise that this released today.
Okay. It was so random, too.
Elaine, well, you're muted.
I'm back. I'm excited. Excited. I played it and it didn't click.
I'm excited.
I'm excited about this. Like, it was, but it's, yeah, you're right. It was 2018. It was on Halloween. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep, 3 years later, about.
It came out of nowhere. I read the tweet. It's like, hey, chapter 2, coming tomorrow.
I saw it.
I'm like, what?
What
is going on with this game?
It's weird to maybe answer your question even a little bit more, Garrett, is chapter 1 kind of felt like, if you wanted it to be a complete game, it kind of stands on its own as a complete game. It has a very distinct beginning, middle, end, and resolution. Cool. Mm-hmm. The very ending kind of had like a cliffhanger thing that you still have questions about the bigger picture of the world, which is what I guess the other chapters will go into. It's just a very odd project, but I'm very into it.
Hey, they're getting the buzz. Of this game.
Yeah.
Like, I understand Undertale is a pretty big game. I know you guys, like, really, really enjoy
pretty
it.
Pretty big.
But the way this is handing out and, like, this spontaneously, it actually reminds me a little bit of Nintendo, actually. It catches people by surprise. And it's getting the buzz. And mm-hmm. and I think that's how he's just working the crowd. It's like, this is how I get people to notice me so I can get more sales out of this. And it works. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Good
I'm sure him. He also makes a lot of money on like merchandise and things like that. He's partnered yeah. with Fangamer. This live stream was sponsored by Fangamer. Mm-hmm. So I think he makes a lot okay. of money there. I don't think he's probably hurting for money after the success of Undertale. So he probably feels how like he can give fans a little bit more. Many.
A lot.
Really?
A lot. Oh,
and okay. he's a one-man team for Undertale. I think he did get a team for Deltarune. Mm-hmm. Don't know how big that team is. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to
look for sales.
So the game, it seems like it wasn't like too hard to technically program as versus other games, but I'm sure like that creativity in the writing and
well, yeah, I mean, he does everything from the programming to the art yeah. to the music to, you know, every single thing involved
yeah, yeah.
with it. And, you know, with that's him interesting. Being mostly a one-man team, I'm sure that he has taken
that's
on
pretty
team
good.
For this one. Yeah, mm-hmm. like, I'm yeah. not surprised that that it would take that long.
This is yeah. his creative
oh
baby.
Yeah definitely
yeah this is I mm-hmm. think this is interesting. I'm curious to see how long now the rest of it takes, because the rest of it is where he can charge money for a complete game essentially and, mm-hmm. and make back yeah. you know what I mean. And I think that's the plan, that the price of chapters 3 through 5 will make back, like roll in the price of 1 and 2, so it'll feel like you're paying whatever 30-40 bucks for the full experience. We'll see. I'm interested to see.
Yeah, maybe people, once they're invested deep into 2 chapters,
yeah, you're gonna
they're
do it,
gonna
right?
play you the know? Rest of the game. Yeah.
Precedent, Fangamer carries the physical edition of Undertale and a collector's edition. So Precedent would say that he mm-hmm. could partner with them again and you could buy a disc if you really wanted to. So, yeah.
Cool.
Man, that Undertale is so special to me, and I love Deltarune, so I'm very excited to play this.
I can't wait to hear your impressions. I'm excited. I got to get into this soon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you play Chapter 1 of Deltarune?
I did. Yeah, so now I need to play this. Okay. Because there's not enough video games.
I'm totally not.
You're competing with me, Elaine.
Oh,
I
think my backlog is more dangerous. I have so much more disposable income. It's so
That's true. I'm thinking of games that I got earlier. The one big game I can't believe I regret like not playing at the time, Bravely Default 2.
It's still
in the back of my mind. I'm like, I've played a lot of, I actually played quite a bit of JRPGs this year. I was like, man, I should have gone back to
that
Bravely Default
to be
2.
Good. I haven't gotten
it. I know.
I own it. I just haven't gotten it.
You do own it.
Of course.
Just like me.
Of course I own it.
All right.
A little bit more related to Switch news. In fact, a lot more related to Switch news. There's a Monster Hunter Rise collab. Take it off, Gary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a very simple one, and they actually put this in their kind of developmental roadmap. They've been going through just all the Capcom.
Yep, they have a good deal with them.
Collaboration.
Yep.
They have a pretty good deal with Capcom. This time it's with Mega Man 11. The character Rush, the dog, is coming over to Monster Hunter. He looks super cute mm-hmm. in the Monster Hunter game. And it's a layered armor set. So it's like, it's basically just skins
yeah.
on top of them, but it's actually kind of cool animations and jumping and everything like that. It looks really good. There's only one more update left in the development roadmap. I presume it's going to be another Capcom franchise, whatever it's going to be. But will there be more? They always do support their Monster Hunter
long
games.
Time. Yep.
Long mm-hmm. time. So yep. What I suspect after this is another big presentation where it's going to be a refresh update of the game itself. It may be, and I'm thinking, just like Iceborne.
Yep, I was
going to
say, it's probably going to be an expansion.
We're going to have another expansion. Yeah. And the PC release is actually supposed to go like early next year
ooh,
or something like that. It's planned.
Ooh, yes, please.
For Monster Hunter Rise.
Yes, please.
So that's what I think what's going to happen right after this. Kind of, these are just small updates that are happening.
Yeah.
Yep. The hardcore Monster Hunter audience are good. They're still playing this game mm-hmm. and they just don't care. It's like, yeah, whatever. Collaboration. I don't care. I have these monsters and I'm minning and maxing all my armor
yep.
sets right now. And that's it.
Most people want more monsters. I hope they expand. The Iceborne expansion to World was very, very good, and I'm glad they did it, and it made the game a lot harder, too. So I'm hoping that they continue that path with Rise. That would be great. I love Monster Hunter. I love it so much.
It's a great game. I didn't play much. I played more on Monster Hunter Stories, too. But it's a good game. I don't know what doesn't like hook me back into it. It's just the repetitiveness of it.
Oh, and I like that.
I do too. It's just I like other games too, like you, and it just drifts me away to this game. So
I will probably get tucked back into it when it releases on PC. I liked World better on PC. It ran better on my PC than the console.
Oh,
the
it's so nice on
buttery
PC,
smooth,
right,
baby? So yeah, that's probably
it's
do.
So good, so good. But yeah. That's awesome. Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That's Monster Hunter. That wraps up our headlines. We have a ton of questions. So we'll try to get through as many of them as possible. You guys always come through with the questions, and I love that. I love how interactive this community is. And they're always good questions, too.
Pretty good.
We'll start it off. Kyle, bringing us back to the food and making us hungry. This time he says, Nintendo characters wake up in the morning. They only have three selections to choose from, what they have to make for breakfast. The three choices are pancakes, waffles, and he adds French toast this time. Which Nintendo character is more likely to make one of those three items for breakfast? He's just giving it any Nintendo character.
Man, this is a lot of stress.
I don't know.
I feel
what
like
to
I'm
say.
Trying to think of like evidence for why a Nintendo character would like a particular thing.
Kirby. Kirby would make all three. Okay.
Kirby would eat all three. Kirby wouldn't make anything. Like, you know what I mean?
No, he's the chef too, right?
Oh, I guess Super he Smash can Bros. Be.
Yeah.
But then that's he's just going to eat them as he makes them.
He's going to swallow them whole
like
a vacuum.
Yoshi would just be standing there like eating everything too. Like Yoshi's useless here. I feel like Luigi could rock some good pancakes. He would throw a bunch of candy in them. I feel like Luigi could handle that. You know? It's a Luigi move.
What kind of candy are we talking about? Like,
M&M's,
I don't want
though.
Any hard candy.
I like M&M's. Okay. You got to put chocolate in your Yes, no, it's just lemon heads, man. Like, what? That's choosing violence. Like, who does that? Like, why don't you? When I want to troll my
Luigi's
children. When I want to troll my children, that's what I'm going to do. Choose violence and put sour hard candies in their pancakes.
Like, oh, that would be legit.
That's actually a pretty good April Fool's Day prank. Excuse me, I got to go write this down.
Oh, my
gosh. This is why you have children. Just if anybody was wondering.
This is good
you
stuff.
You can troll them all the time.
I don't know. Like, I feel like they're not different enough foods to know what Nintendo characters would eat them.
What did you just say?
as far as Nintendo characters.
I'm teasing you. I'm offended.
I don't know.
I got nothing else. This was hard.
I who's associated with food in Nintendo characters? The only thing is Kirby in my head.
And Yoshi.
And Yoshi.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
I do love me a Yoshi, but he's not good.
Man, they don't do much with food, don't they?
No.
No.
Do Nintendo characters eat?
That's a good question.
Wait, Link eats in Breath of the Wild.
He does.
That's true.
Mario just trips on shrooms most of the time. That's all he really does. Evidence supports.
Is he? How does he function?
Maybe it's all a dream.
He's jumping everywhere.
Does Samus eat?
Wait, what?
I don't think you ever see Samus eat. And if she did, it would probably be like a cool infusion through her suit or something.
I feel like you
food.
Would inject
space
it
food.
Into
yeah.
her heart.
Space food.
Or
yeah, totally.
Like
great.
That.
That's
fine. Like some green juice.
Oh, it's inside the suit. That's why the shoulder pads are so big. That's where the liquids are.
Yeah.
Or like, don't astronauts eat like spam or something? Like she probably has some like NASA Ziploc sealed type food where she goes back to her gunship and eats it.
Yeah, freeze-dried ice cream, you know, little bits.
Yeah.
Oh, so
Dippin' Dots. There we go.
I don't know. Too hard of a question, Kyle.
Hard.
Ian wants to know, do you think an October Nintendo Direct is likely at this point, or even possible, if a September presentation does not happen this year? We were talking a lot about how they typically do the September ones. Not as many in October, but could it be this year?
We still have 2 more weeks. I'm holding out hope for September. 2 more weeks.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That's
Do you think maybe they're trying to give Dread some room to breathe, and then once that's released, kind of bring up some new stuff?
Maybe.
They have been pushing Dread harder than I've seen them push a game in a minute. Like, they are aggressive.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Like,
they, yes.
What? Ever since E3. It's like, here's constant. Metroid, and here's every Friday. All the gameplay,
yeah,
and here's all the
pictures.
Spoilers.
They've been
aggressive
with that game, so I feel like either they're concerned that it won't sell, or they, I don't know why, it's interesting. Like,
or they
I,
believe in it.
Yeah, I just, I, or they really believe in it, and I hope it's that one. I hope it's so good that they're just like, look what we finally did. Please love us again.
We did
We're
this
sorry
for
about
you,
the Bluetooth.
Samus franchise.
We're so sorry about the Bluetooth. Here, have a Metroid. You know, like just
here, we flip that on too. Yeah.
We'll forgive you, Nintendo.
I would like
give to, us the Metroid.
Give us the Metroid. They could do an October one. I could see that. They have to do something. Yeah. They're running out of releases. They have to tell us something, right? Soon.
I don't
know.
Maybe.
Do they?
I feel like.
They don't need to until January.
Exactly. It's like, it's fine. You can do some drop videos every now and then maybe something at the Game Awards and just be totally fine.
So, yeah, I agree with Garrett. I think if we see something, it might be like a third-party direct. I think we have more things that we need to know about third-party titles right now. We'll get something at the Game Awards, like a Breath of the Wild 2 tease trailer release window something or another. And then I think we get our next full direct in January.
That seems like a long time. When was the last full one? Like, real big
E3.
One? It was E3, right?
E3, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then before then, I remember it being a huge gap.
Yeah.
Granted, it was like a pandemic and everything.
Yeah, there was a pandemic.
So. I mean, Nintendo's beating their own drum, man. They're setting the schedule. And like, yeah, I'm just saying, I know a lot of people get their hopes up in September. And it's like, oh, maybe it's in October. It's like, guys, just you got to calm down. It'll be okay. We got a lot of Nintendo games coming up. We got a lot of near early 2022 games that we know of as well. So just put the brakes on a little bit. I mean, it'd be really cool to see one. Don't get me wrong, but
I refuse to put the brakes on it. Do not want to. Give me my news. Don't want.
Give me my news now.
I mean, it's fun to speculate, right? It's fun to hope for things like this. I think it's problematic when you get angry when it doesn't happen, right? Like, the speculation is all in good fun.
Yeah.
If you're out there getting pissed off when it doesn't happen, that's a you problem, not a Nintendo problem.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, buddy, it's okay.
Slow it down. Simmer down, children. It'll be fine.
Yeah, definitely true.
West3DP says, who will you main in Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl when it drops in like 2 weeks? Will you buy it immediately? Even you, Blaine Explosion. Even you.
I'm not wasting $60 on this cheap knockoff Nickelodeon Brawler.
Oh, no. I'm probably, I mean, SpongeBob. Who doesn't want to play SpongeBob?
Well, but I will get it when it turns into like 5 years later and it's like in a clearance bin,
buddy. This is gonna be cheap on Black Friday. You're not gonna have to wait.
That's
years,
true.
Okay, just hold tight for like 60 days. Just, it'll be fine. I will.
It'll be
I'll,
like
I'll
$10
it. If it goes under $20, I'll buy it. Why not? Right?
If it goes
actually,
under $20,
I think
bucks,
I'll go there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I will buy only if like people are actually gonna be playing it with me. Like, I'm not buying this to play a single player. Like, y'all gotta play it with me.
Oh no!
I'll play
it's
with you.
It's gonna be bad.
We'll all be bad together because I'm terrible
it's
at Smash
really
Bros.
Bad.
I'm so bad.
Anyway, nobody's allowed to play as Zim because that's my character.
All right, I want
no
SpongeBob.
Zim is yours.
I want SpongeBob.
I want Olga from Hey Arnold.
Okay. All right. No, Hey Arnold is such a good show.
It's so
I
good.
Know, right?
Are you
it's
even so old enough to know Hey Arnold when it came out?
Of course we do.
Are you? Okay,
oh
good. I just want to make
gosh,
sure. Hey, look, there's an 11-year age difference here. I need to make sure, okay?
I remember waking up 6:30 in the morning for those Hey Arnold episodes.
Yeah, dude. Hey Arnold.
Yo, and
so
if you
good.
Go back to Hey Arnold, actually, like, that was actually, it had a lot of mature, like,
yes.
undertones. Like,
yep.
a lot of really yep. deep lessons in that show.
It was
like, I know a lot of those shows have, you know, kind of the layers, you know, so that adults can enjoy them too with their kids. But, like, some deep stuff in that show.
Yeah, I love that show.
Oh, yeah.
Show's still good. Still good. Still so holds good. Up.
Yep.
Hey Arnold.
Yep. I liked this question from G-Man. What do you think makes a Nintendo Direct a great presentation?
Hmm? Oh, boy.
He specified. I kind of, like, altered the question a little bit. He wanted to know, is it the games? You know, is it more than the games? Is it the presentation itself?
I think often, for me, it's that Nintendo knows how to get out of their own way and show you the game. And then say a little quippy one or two things about the game and then move. Do you know what I mean? They don't linger too long where you're just like, okay. Unless it's a Smash Brothers presentation, and then it's like, okay, it's a little much. But in general, they don't linger on one thing so long that you're like, okay, I get it, move on. You never feel like you have a chance to be like bored, and I like that about the way they move through shows.
I completely agree. I feel like Nintendo presentations, I'm never bored with it. Like, even though it's a game I don't even care about, it's okay. It'll be like maybe 1 or 2 minutes maximum until right. there's the next game, and you're ready to go. You're ready to see what's next.
Yep.
In a Nintendo Direct. And I think, yeah, that's why they're so good, because they're nice, tight, concise. They go from one thing to the other. They kind of lead you on. It's like, hey, is there one more thing or not? You won't know until mm-hmm. like the very end of the presentation. But yeah, it's just the conciseness of Nintendo presentations really get me compared to another company, all Microsoft, that wants to show catapult videos with Age of Empires, my most anticipated game of October.
I'm very excited.
I don't
too.
Know why. But I just don't know why they did that.
I feel like 40-minute presentation means two totally different things for those two companies. It means like two or three games for Xbox, like a crap ton of games for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I also I appreciate also that Nintendo does puts the same care into their indies directs that they do their big ones.
Oh yeah.
It's a nice thing to see.
I also like for the indie direct specifically when they go into kind of the background of the developers and like you get a quick little snippet of like where they're from, that's what their good. Story is. I think that kind of makes it more relatable in a way.
Not to compare with Microsoft a bit more, but the indie showcase for Microsoft. Have you guys seen that type of thing?
No. I have seen those showcases before. They're rough. They're
so rough. They're 3 hours.
It's
too much.
Nobody wants to sit there for that long.
No.
Exactly. They interview these devs, and I understand they want to give them the time to do stuff and have questions asked and answered, but it's like we're not paying attention to this at all.
I'm done here.
I would rather read an article about this than see this. Okay. So, yeah.
In addition to what you guys just said, I also... And they've been doing very well with this, too, when directs have a little something for everyone. Like, maybe you're not going to come away with, like, every single game, you know, or whatever. It might not have your most favorite announcements. But almost every single direct, at least for me, I feel like there have been, like, at least 1, 2, 3 games that I'm definitely buying day one. And I feel like across the board, most people have been able to say that lately.
Yeah.
So I feel like a successful Nintendo Direct is when... most people can say I found at least 1, 2, 3 things that I want to buy immediately.
I do enjoy that. I enjoy seeing people with the screenshots of logos and circling the ones they want to get. Like that's one of my favorite Twitter things.
And you know, not every single direct is going to have like, you know, the next Zelda game, the next Mario game, like all mm-hmm. of their A-tier franchises, especially I think whatever the past direct was, even like the E3 direct didn't have a ton of that stuff. Like it had Zelda, but you know, there wasn't a new Mario title. There wasn't a new Donkey Kong type thing, but like, it still managed to hit a variety of franchises that I feel like almost unanimously people walked away saying this had something for me.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So yes,
that makes it successful in my opinion. Let's see. Jonathan asks, have you played the game Kiwi yet? And if so, what are your thoughts? And if not, are you a monster? On a serious note, he said, if they add N64 games, what would you want to play first? I had forgotten about this one. It's that little game where you play as like a little, you know, those little Kiwi birds. Postal characters, that indie from that one indie direct. I have not played it, Jonathan.
I'm writing this down so I remember to look it up because I forgot all about it.
It looks, it might have been also in one of those wholesome directs.
Yeah.
It looked really cute. Yep.
I love cute games like that. I find them relaxing.
It's $30. I didn't realize how expensive it was.
Is it on Game Pass? Quick check. Is it only on Switch? I mean,
it's on Switch, PS5, Xbox.
I'll have to check this out. I'll add it to a
wish
list.
I'm curious about that. Like,
it releases the 21st.
What it's all about then.
Oh, it's soon.
Has $30 value. For an indie, you don't typically see indies cost that much.
Yeah, it's been creeping up there lately, though. Like, I've seen some that have been hitting that $25, $30 price point, so I'm curious to see what this is. I will check this out.
Mm.
I will. What would I play first on N64, though? I know everybody's answer is going to be Ocarina of Time, but, like...
No, not mine.
You just played it.
Yeah.
I just played
you
it.
Just played. That's cheating. You're cheating. I wish they would put... Well, I already own Doom 64 and a million different. That's one of my favorite N64 games, actually, quietly.
I would probably play Star Fox 64. Mm. I really enjoyed that game.
That's a good choice. It's a boy.
Of course, it's the best Star Fox game.
You know what Nintendo game I haven't played in a really long time? I would revisit Yoshi's Story. It's been a really long time.
Ooh, yes.
Yoshi's Story is, I like Yoshi's Story. So
I don't like that game.
Oh,
you can go back to your Beetle Racing.
I don't, so I would. Do you remember from Yoshi's Story, just because I love to hate this game, I like the individual levels for this game, but I don't like how the game is laid out, that you can only pick one level at a time, and you basically have to beat the game four different times to play all the levels.
Yep, yep.
Because it's like, there's like four levels, and then you, or however many there are, six levels, you just pick one stage from each, and then once you get past it, you can't go back to a previous stage.
Yeah,
so you pretty much have to repeat these. You have to find, you pretty much have to 100% it to beat every stage.
That's true. And that is a bummer, the way it's laid out. I have very fond memories of that game, but I haven't revisited it for a long time. I do want to point out, I think it was mainly Joe in the chat said Mischief Makers. I love Mischief Makers. It is a fantastic
game. Never heard of it.
Oh, man. It's like kind of a platformer reaction game. Mischief Makers was very, very good. It is one of the few N64 carts that I do not own and am trying to find. The other one that I don't know if they would do is Pokemon Puzzle League, which is...
Oh, I would be so down
for
that one.
I played the hell out of Tetris Attack. Oh, Tetris Attack on the SNES is one of my favorite.
Yeah, Tetris Attack, yeah.
This is that, but in 3D, and it runs like crap, but I still love it, and I would totally play
I love it so much.
Pokemon Puzzle.
I thought you were going to say Pokemon Stadium, which is something I put a lot of hours
into.
Oh,
that's another one.
That's another good one. That's another quality one. I want Pokemon Puzzle League. I own that cartridge.
Pokemon Stadium 2. Mm-hmm. That was a legit one. It had a gold cart. It was like... I loved it so much.
Oh, I never played 2, but I would like to play it.
Mm-hmm.
You should.
Got that second gen Pokemon. I remember playing the mini games in Pokemon
Stadium.
The
mini games I spent the most time with.
Is it?
My gosh. I love the pincer log one. I forgot other ones. But that's
Do you remember? Did you play the mini games in the first Pokemon Stadium?
I don't think I had the first one. I just only had the second one.
Yeah, I would like those. I would like to revisit them.
I haven't played those since I was a kid. Yeah, since I had them. Wow.
But the first one, I would boot up Ocarina of Time just
I mean, I kind of figured that was going to be your answer, yeah. Yep.
Because I can't help it.
I knew it.
Can't help it. All right. Hobie says, are there any Switch games that the gaming social media bubble seemed to frown on but you enjoyed? He says, Mario 3D All-Stars is this game for me. I love having these three games bundled up and playable on the Switch. I've gotten plenty of joy out of that purchase. It's a good question.
I will actually second that one. I know that a lot of people were really angry about that package or really disappointed in it. But for me, like, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed having those all in one place to play.
It was a good purchase for me as well, because I think I only have Super Mario Galaxy on like hard copy.
Me too.
And the other two I just never played. So it was a very good purchase for me.
Galaxy is amongst my favorite of the Marios. So I just for that game alone on the Switch was worth it for me. Like 64, I've played so many different times in ways that I'm like, I'm good. But Galaxy is very, like, very, very special. And I've only ever played it once. So.
Elaine, I don't think you... I think you came along to the PSVG crew after this released, right? I think so. Did you?
Or right around the time it did, I think. Maybe?
Pretty darn close.
The big thing for me was this was the first time I was playing all three of those games.
I feel for
I don't know if you knew that.
No, and playing Mario 64 the first time in this package sucks. It's not the best way. Like
I liked it.
But the DS one was really good. The DS version was amongst my favorites.
Oh, really?
I liked
the DS
version of it. Yeah. Yeah.
I wish that they update it. And I know that they wanted to keep it true to the original. And I know I'm pooping all over Hobie's point here. Wish that they had at least just kind of fine-tuned the camera controls for that one. And that would have been...
I think a lot of people were upset at the price point for this thing, too, considering they didn't really do anything to it. Do you know what I mean? And that, for me, that was fine, but I understand the frustration, I think.
Now, if we do get the N64 games on Switch Online, do we get Mario 64 on there? I mean, they're not selling it anymore,
so I bet you they do.
I can't believe they're not selling it anymore.
That is so bananas to me.
Weird. And the Fire Emblem thing, like, what are you doing?
The Fire Emblem 30th anniversary thing, too. It's like, but why? Why are you creating scarcity through nonsense? What is you doing, baby? Like, what is your deal?
I don't know.
Nintendo, the only company that take games away from a first party store. Oh, goodness.
To answer Hobie's question, I don't know. I mean, I think that the social media bubble frowned on these games. The Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee games for Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, I love
I
those.
Really enjoyed my time with Let's Go Eevee. Maybe I'm saying this because I got it for $40. I didn't get it for $60. But, I mean, I have the Gen 1 nostalgia. I think that the games looked pretty. Like, I didn't really care about the throwing mechanics, whatever. It was, like, a breeze to play through. It wasn't hard. It was just very, like, relaxing to just, like, hear all of the remastered music and have my Pokemon follow behind me. And just mm-hmm. a very easy way to shiny hunt. I spent hours shiny hunting in that game. I still think it's the best Pokemon game to shiny hunt in. I kind of wish that they would make Gen 2 with the Let's Go model. Yeah. And I know that's probably an unpopular opinion, but, like, they're just such chill games. They're very wholesome. They're very, you know,
yep.
I think they're good, easy remakes if, like, you're just trying to have a more casual Pokemon experience.
I really liked those as well. I did. And I know that I just did. I just like sinking into them and being joyous, you know? Sometimes, mm-hmm. like... We're so quick to be cynical, especially on Twitter. Like, and Thrack brought up the Link's Awakening remake also, and I really enjoyed that remake, and I have very fond.
Did people not like that? I love that.
People were mad that they were that they charged $60 for it. They felt like it wasn't long enough.
It's a Zelda game.
It's a Zelda game. What are you going to do? It's a first-party title. It's the same reason that 3D All-Stars got that price mm-hmm. point when people didn't think mm-hmm. it was worth it. But, like, it's very easy to sink into cynicism and nitpick these kinds of games apart, especially when it's a remake and you have nostalgia. I just want to sink into the joy of it sometimes. Yeah. Right. Pokemon, Mario, and this Zelda remake were like that for me. I'm just like, this is just freaking happy, man. That's what I want.
Especially you know? Because I feel like the Pokemon... and I don't want to use fandom because there's so many things wrong with the Pokemon fandom, and I know not everybody is like this.
Careful.
I know not all Pokemon fans are like this. I know they're gonna come at me. Are so serious about the new gen releases and Sword and Shield and what it is and what it's not, and mm-hmm. that's entirely separate to me than what I feel like Let's Go is and should yeah. be yes. and yes. you know has to be. And I'm very okay with everybody fighting it out over Sword and Shield and whatever Gen 9 is going to be. And just give me my very easy, casual,
yeah.
you know, it made me feel when I was playing that like I was playing it the way I did as a kid again.
Exactly.
And not caring about stats and not caring about, you know, any of that nonsense mm-hmm. and not caring about that it has to be this way. And I miss that.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. People were upset with that one, too, because of the tie-ins to Pokemon Go. And it felt like. You know, to some people, like
that's why
a latch on
I didn't
grab.
Care for it.
That's
yeah.
fair. I like that because I thought the Pokemon Go stuff was cool, and I live in an area where it's very ubiquitous, so it was like fun.
I was very me. Into Pokemon Go when Let's
yeah.
Go came out.
Yeah, it yeah. was like so it was cool. It
makes sense,
but it stands on its
I
own.
I would just, you know? I would just wish they just had some classic version of the. It could be the same exact thing. I just want a classic version where I'm just battling Pokemon. It doesn't have yeah. to be that. Extravagant of anything. It's just literally changing battling in the wild instead of catching like that's all I
right.
cared really about. I didn't but Let's Go was fine to me.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, cool, this is a good game, this is a great game to go yeah. back to, feel nostalgia for. I'm gonna expand my answer to Switch games to a genre in general that everyone's pitted against me and except for the few, and that is strategy card games.
In
general, people just love to hate
like Cold Seven
that
and
genre
stuff like that. I love that genre. Like I
yeah
yeah I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
I very much enjoy strategy card games just because like they just add their own little twist to it and randomizer in the mechanic, and people just like to hate on it just to hate on it, and they've never tried it before, and so I'm just like, okay, sure.
I also feel like people look at those games and think like, oh, they're all kind of the same, just with like
yeah.
different
right.
themes or different skins, and they might not realize like what the differences are.
Yeah, yeah. I encourage people to try Slay the Spire.
If you're Slay the Spire is the best one.
I think
one,
that's probably, and it's very beginner friendly to me.
Yeah.
Monster Train on PC is probably better for me than Slay the Spire, but it's much more complex. Like, it's a level above. I love these freaking kinds of games, especially when they're roguelikes.
Oh, it's so good.
I love them. I get way into them. Mm-hmm. I have, like, magic card brain, so my brain's like, we can do this.
Mix
Let's
the
go.
Deck around.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. It's bad. It goes to the bad place. I feel you, Gary.
I even like these RPGs, like SteamWorld Quest.
I loved and, that like, game.
These types of games, like, they are RPGs, but they have just that extra card mechanic to it, just to mix it up a little bit, have a little bit of flavor to the RPG. So,
SteamWorld Quest is also a very, very approachable example and an exceptional one of those. Really, really highly recommend.
Both on Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Braindroid wants to know, which Nintendo character would you like to interview?
Why is it so hard?
Why is this every Nintendo character do this, that, and this?
Does Yoshi speak? Because I have questions. Like, a lot of questions.
I have questions for that, questions for that young man.
How do you get the eggs to come out so fast? How does
why are you pooping out those eggs, sir?
Yeah, how do you... But how do
ma'am,
you,
I don't know.
Ma'am? I also have questions for Birdo. Different questions, opposite.
Birdo is... No, let's interview Birdo.
I have that questions. Is, where do the questions. Eggs come from? I need to know.
Why are you spitting out eggs from your nose, sir?
Sir? Ma'am? I don't care. It doesn't matter. Know. Why, though?
They, them? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there for that. I mean... Chat has good answers, but let's hear your guys' answers, because I went with funny for this one.
My answer is already in chat. I want to interview Waluigi and ask him, how does it feel that you don't have your own game and you're excluded from Smash and you're kind of the butt of all the jokes, but you're not ever included?
I bet you he doesn't know. Wow. I bet you he doesn't know that, and you're going to make him cry. Good job.
Yeah,
he's going to be so sad.
At least he was in Strikers.
He's so sad.
Samus is a good one,
Samus
too.
Samus is a good one.
I would just like to talk to her. Like, are you okay?
You've
are you doing okay?
You've seen some
she needs
things.
Therapy.
Yeah, no.
She needs a lot of therapy.
She does. She's seen some crap. Like, I want to know.
Yeah.
Questions. That's space questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody from Zelda. There's a lot of Zelda characters I would want to interview.
What about Flippy from Star Fox? Come on now.
Oh, Flippy.
Do a barrel roll, y'all. People forget about these
Slippy?
Characters. You know?
Slippy.
Slippy. It's Slippy. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Slippy. Yeah. No. I would definitely interview all the characters in Star Fox. Like,
Fox would be a good one.
Yeah.
Fox would be great,
Fox
too.
Would be good.
I want to know all the lore behind that man. Because
they don't tell you anything. And I have questions.
They don't tell you anything about that universe. What's this animal universe?
Okay. I got one. I want to interview Bowser. On his, I guess, theories beyond parenting and, like, what his experiences are with raising his sons.
Yeah, I have questions about that, too.
Yeah.
This would be 60 minutes. Like,
yeah, that would be, and he's shrouded in darkness, so you don't know it's him, but it's him.
He's a good father.
Yeah.
I gotta ask him, like, are you pitted against Mario or not? Because I see you in, like, all these games that they just go one way or the other. Like,
they play tennis together.
It's like, you let your kids mess around with a plumber? Like, what are you doing, sir?
Who builds the airships? I have questions.
Who's that engineer?
Right, I gotta know, because that's some structural, like, that's good. This is very competent construction.
It's a scientific advancement.
Do the little moles build the airships, the ones that throw the wrenches at you? I have so many questions.
So many
questions with the Mario universe.
All right, last question. I like this one. Carlos asks us, I stopped playing Breath of the Wild after 60-ish hours and never found the right moment to come back to one of the best games in history. Should I start all over knowing I have many other great games in my backlog, or should I continue my save file and finally finish the game?
This is such a hard one.
That's a good question.
I feel like my gut answer to this is just keep playing, because it's the type of game where the story isn't driving the experience, and it doesn't actually matter. When you really look at it, it doesn't really matter, and just navigating through the world and seeing all the Easter eggs is what matters. You can just go and do that, you know?
Almost feel like after dedicating 60 hours, like, you're not gonna wanna go do all of that again, I feel like. Yeah. I almost feel like, Carlos, if you start over, you might end up still not finishing it.
You'll end up at the same spot. I do this in RPGs all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, unless you totally forget everything, like you haven't touched it since 2017, I would say just go do some shrines if you haven't done all the shrines yet. Mm-hmm. Make sure you finished up, you know, those divine beasts. Do a couple side quests, then go fight Ganon.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not big on repeating single player games a lot. It takes a good and a replayable game to really get me through another playthrough. Mm-hmm. I stopped around 60 hours as well with Breath of the Wild and stopped in 2017. I was like, all right, I'm good, and set it aside. So if I ever pick it back up, I will go to that exact save file and just see where I'm at, because I know exactly where I'm at. Or I don't know, but like once I'm there and figure out the mechanics or whatever, I could just do some shrines, as you said, or just go out in the world and see what I can do. Because yep. It seems like that type of game after you're done with the story. It's like you could just do whatever you want. I say keep the save file.
Yeah, it's really unique because they really did construct a game in which the story isn't driving you playing it. Like it mm-hmm. even more so than something like Assassin's Creed or those bigger open world games. Like they have you do kind of get lost and forget what you were doing. I jumped in and out of this game a few times before I finished it, and I never felt like I was confused because I was just like, maybe I'll just get my horse and go ride around for a while then. You know?
Yeah, it only took me a little while just to remember all the controls at first. I feel like for some reason, no matter how many hours I've put into that game, it always takes me a couple minutes just to remember all the controls.
They're not as intuitive when you first jump back in, because if you play a bunch of those third-person action games, they don't match, but they make sense once you've been playing it for a little bit. So.
Yeah, and I feel like the ending is worth seeing, Carlo, so beat it. Just go beat it.
Go play it.
Ride around, like we said. Well, that is gonna do it for this week's show. Feel like there hasn't been a ton of hard-hitting news lately, but you know, little tidbits here and there. I think something is coming. I feel like
fingers crossed.
Something is coming, and even if there's not, we got Metroid Dread in a couple weeks.
Just gonna say something is coming, and if not, let's just play Metroid and talk about that for like 2 weeks.
Exactly. Hopefully,
play Fusion.
We can do that.
Play Fusion.
Hound on me to finish Metroid this week. Samus Returns.
Play Fusion because it's short.
Finish all the games, Rebecca.
Yes, immediately. You're the best at it amongst the three of us. Clearly.
Probably.
That's pretty sad.
I know. That's saying a lot about Garrett and I.
All right, I'm gonna go play Deltarune.
I think I might.
Cool.
All right. Until next week. Thanks, Koopalings.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.